Lost and Found is the name of our series, and we're learning stuff about Jesus. I've got a picture up here that is missing some bits, and I need a helper who thinks they've got reasonable handwriting to help me to fill it out. Reasonable handwriting. You've got reasonable handwriting? Come on down. Round of applause for Triple J.
Jordan.
Come on down. Okay, I need you, Jeff, or James, or Jules, whichever name you want to go by. I need you to write where these two sides of the field are. So where are you going to do that? Bingo.
Go, Jeff.
Can we stop copying?
No, you don't. Keep copying. What's the other one?
Oh, this is Earth. Lost peeps.
These are peeps.
Oops. Okay, we've got the lost peeps. Who's in heaven?
Jesus.
JC. What's around him? So he's got a crown, beautiful crown.
It's a good crown.
Oh, nice. It's got a jewel on that crown. Well done, Jules. Good work. Okay, now, can I... Round of applause. That's perfect so far. Come on down. Grab a seat. Who wants to have a go at the next bit? You've got to have awesomely super neat writing. AI, is that you?
Yeah.
If it's not, I will put texture on your face while you're asleep tonight. No, I won't. Oh, brilliant. Hey, wait. We missed something.
Oh, missed on the earth here.
Yeah, squiggle. Hey, that's a good squiggle. Stop, that's plenty. Stop. Okay, Jesus comes. What does Jesus come to do? He comes to save lost people. Now, how does he do that?
He takes a U-turn.
He doesn't do a U-turn, does he? What goes in the middle of the soccer field?
Oh, a cross.
Okay, we need the cross.
Yeah.
That's a brilliantly shaped cross. Looks more like an axe.
Scribble in it.
Fantastic.
What's that?
Scribble in it.
The arrow went the wrong
Perfect.
Way.
Well done, AI.
Round of applause for AI. Okay, Jesus. Jesus came to look for and to save lost peeps, lost people. We, you, all people are lost, and we all need Jesus to find us. And so what we can do is we can respond in one of two ways. We can do a what?
Yeah!
In our forts.
Smash.
Is it our forts? Ford or Holden?
Holden.
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 Stop. Okay, we'll do it in one of those cheap Kias. Okay, we're in a cheap little Kia. And we'll do it. We'll chuck a Yui. So there are two ways that we can respond to King Jesus, who's come to look for us who are lost. We can turn back to him. Or what can we do? This weird little squiggly line.
It's a roadblock at the end.
That's a good illustration. There's a roadblock at the end. We can go our own way, which is not a good thing. We won't go to heaven. We won't be friends with Jesus. We won't be friends with God. It is not good. We won't have a relationship with the creator of the universe. But if we turn back to Jesus and trust in his death and resurrection, we will be his friends, we will be in heaven, we will no longer be lost, but we will be found. Now I've got a question for you. Oh wait, we've missed something. What? Who can help me here? Shout it out, I think we can all do it. The
Son of Man.
Wait. Speed of my hand, not speed of your mouth. Okay, so slow down.
The Son of Man came to
Okay, that was beautiful. That's like an orchestra without a conductor. We're going to do it together and I'm going to be the conductor. Here we go.
The Son of Man came to look for and save people who are lost.
Luke chapter 19.
Verse 10.
And we missed a word. How come no one noticed it?
Two.
There's a two in there. Well done.
And save.
Okay, I've got a question that I want you to turn to the person beside you and ask them like we've done the last couple of days. And the question today is, how do you know that someone loves you? Okay, how do you know someone loves you? Talk about it quietly with the person beside you. We'll be back in 30 seconds. Go. Seconds. 10. Five, four, three, two, one. Zipit.com.
Are you?
Can I say it's been fantastic? Stop. Excuse me. Do you need to go outside?
No.
And stop being so rude. It's been fantastic the last couple of days. The way that you have stopped talking when you're supposed to stop talking. The way that you've shared really, really good answers. Some really good answers you guys have been sharing with one another. So thank you for that. So I want some volunteers for today. How do you know someone loves you? Yeah.
What?
The question you just talked about, how do you know that someone loves you? Have you got an answer? You put your hand up. Next. Yeah, Roscoe. Fantastic. They could say, I love you. They could say the words, I love you. Good one.
They flirt?
They might flirt with you. It could be a girl and they're flirting with you. They're saying they love you.
I just had that.
You had that one, yep.
They look after you?
Oh, good one. They look after you. They care for you. How do you know maybe that your parents love you? They look after you. They care for you. They help you. Yeah.
Well, if I was just playing that. If, let's say, a girl... You put on a movie, and like if someone can lie next to you for the entirety of the movie, then they probably love you.
Ah, okay. You're sitting watching a video with a bunch of people, and if that special girl happens to sit next to you the whole time without moving, one, you've put deodorant on, and two, they may well love you. Fantastic. One more. One more. We got one more? These have been really good. Last one, yeah.
If people really like you, they like to spend time with you.
Yeah, good one. That's a great one. If people really love you, they like to spend time with you. There's some great answers that we've just had. Okay, I've been reminded once again, this is something I've thought about lots of times before, but as I've come away on camp with you guys, as I've eaten dinner with you guys, as I've had lunch, as I've had breakfast with you guys, I've been reminded that all of us really just want to fit in. Let me tell you why I think that from this camp. The stories that you guys tell at the table. Someone will say something about something, and then one little word in that story that someone will say will trigger someone else to say, oh, well, speaking of African ants, we have ants in our backyard. And then someone else says, oh, speaking of backyards, we have a slippery dip in our backyard. And then someone else will say, speaking of slippery dips, I forgot what I was going to say, but have you seen my new watch? Oh, speaking of what, and you just keep talking and talking and talking. Everyone wants to get a word in. Everyone wants to be part of the group, part of the table, part of the action. Everyone wants to fit in. You know, we actually hang out with people, hang out with groups of friends where we will fit in. We play soccer with a group of people and we fit in with them. Maybe you are a skateboarder and on weekends you hang out with skaters because you'll fit in there and you'll be accepted there. Maybe you're an emo or a country music listening buff, not the rock country, the country. Maybe you're an emo and you fit in with the emo type of crew. Maybe you're a computer nerd and you hang out with all the other computer nerds. And do you know what it means? Sometimes because we want to be loved, sometimes because we want to belong, we'll even do things that we maybe ought not to do. And things that you may not even want to do, but because of peer pressure and so that you can fit in with the other boys, maybe you will be a bully at school. Maybe there's a group of 10 of you, eight of them are picking on one guy. Which side are you going to join? You're going to join the side with eight, and you're going to pick on the guy as well. And you do those things to fit in. We do those things to be accepted. Maybe you might steal from a shop because all your friends are doing it. You're walking home from the bus, you walk past the corner shop, and three of you go in there and steal some lollies or a chocolate bar or whatever it might be. So often, so that we fit in, so that we're accepted, we'll even do things that we may not want to do. All of us, all people, really, They just want to fit in. They just want to be accepted. They just want to know that they belong. They just want to know. You just want to know that you are loved. And so the question from the start there, how do you know you're loved? How do you know you're loved? And the biggest question that I want to ask you today, and I think the Bible will answer for us today, and this is one of the most important questions you'll ever ask, and the answer is incredible. Not just how do you know you are loved, but how do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? Don't need to put your hand up. We're going to have a look at the Bible. We're going to see something of how we can know that God loves us. Today, in the passage that we're going to look at on your booklets there, which is on page number 6, we're going to whirl through a lot of that passage there. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to see four people, four different things, I guess, that were lost. Just quickly, what are some of the lost things we've seen so far? In our Bible studies on the first day, who was lost? Yeah. There was a piece of paper there that was lost. Okay, but what about in the Bible study, what was lost? Yeah.
The taxpayer.
Okay, what about in the Bible study, what was lost? What's it say at the top of the page on the first Bible study? Have a look at it. Have a look at mine.
The crude man.
No, the first Bible study.
The fishermen.
The fishermen were lost. There's a bunch of fishermen that were lost. They recognised that they were sinners and they turned to Jesus. What do we see in this second talk? Who was lost yesterday? The crippled man was lost, and he actually came to Jesus, and he was forgiven of his sin, and he was healed of his paralyzed legs. What about yesterday in the study groups? Who do we say that was lost? We saw the Pharisee was lost. He didn't even realize he was lost, did he? And the tax collector, he saw that he was lost, and he actually turned and trusted Jesus. The Pharisee, what did he do? Did he turn?
No.
What did he do? He kept going his own way. He kept running off in his own direction in his own little Kia car. Today we're going to meet four people, four different things that are lost. And the first two are, no, the first one, sheep. Write that down and grab your Bible passage out again, page number 6. Okay, have a look at sentence number 3. Get your finger out. Point it on the page, look for the little 3, and we're going to read from there. Make sure you've got it. Make sure you've got it. I'm looking around, another leader's looking around to make sure that you've got it. Finger on the page. Here we go. It says, then Jesus told them this story. If any of you has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will you do? Won't you leave the 99 in the field and go look for the lost sheep until you find it? And when you find it, you will be so glad that you will put it on your shoulder and carry it home. Then you will call in your friends and neighbors and say, let's celebrate! I found my lost sheep! Jesus said, in the same way, there is more happiness in heaven because of one sinner who turns to God than over 99 good people who don't need to. So what's our first lost thing? It's a sheep. Do you see what happened in the story? There's 100 sheep. One of them went missing. What did the person who owned the sheep go and do? They went to look for it, they sought it, they found it, then they threw a party. So the first thing that was lost was the sheep. The second thing we're about to see that's lost is the coin. The coin is the second thing that's lost. Have a look at sentence number 8. Make sure you follow it with your finger once you've written it on your page. Sentence number 8. Jesus told the people another story. What will a woman do if she has 10 silver coins and loses one of them? Won't she light a lamp and sweep the floor and look carefully until she finds it? Then she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, let's celebrate! I found the coin I lost! And Jesus said, in the same way, God's angels are happy when even one person turns to him. What was lost on the second time there?
Coin.
A coin. What was lost the first time?
Sheep.
A sheep. What happened in the second one? The woman, how many coins did she have?
10.
What happened to one of them?
Lost.
She lost it. What did she do?
She found it, then celebrated.
She found it, and then she celebrated. Did you notice that in both situations, with both the sheep and with the coin, did you see what happened?
They both celebrated.
They both celebrated. They both threw a big party over that one lost sheep that was found, and over that one lost coin. that was found. Now, we once, my wife's name is Rowena, and we once lost something, and when we found it, we were ready to throw a party. Let me show you a picture of what we lost. Okay, that's as big as it'll go. Can you see it?
No.
Can you see it?
No.
Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? Hey, I'm going to make a path, and I'm going to come down the middle, go up, and turn back. I'm going to do a U-turn in my Kia.
It's a puppy.
Back. Don't touch it. It's like not like a smell phone or anything like that. Okay, let me just tell you something about these pictures. There's a dog in these pictures, and the dog's name is Riley. I hate Riley. Riley isn't my dog. I don't love Riley ordinarily, but one particular weekend, we were given the job of looking after Riley. Riley is Rowena's sister's dog, and Rowena's sister and her husband had gone away for the weekend, and we were looking after the dog. Now, this is a crazy dog. I hate this dog. I don't even like talking to you about this dog. But what this crazy, clever dog did and decided to do, because the ground was all wet, it actually dug under our next door neighbour's fence. We can see here. Dug under the fence, went out and went roaming the streets of Gosford and went everywhere. And we were looking for him everywhere. We looked all over the place. It was raining. I was driving the car, zigzagging streets. We had two cars at one stage driving the car. Rowena was running across the oval going, "Riley! Riley, where are you?" We went everywhere. We even knocked on doors, and we actually found some people who had seen Riley. Someone actually had Riley follow him to the pub. True story. So Riley went to the pub. He went to all sorts of different places. And we just couldn't find him. We looked for hours. I think we drove about 70 kilometres in an area that's like about 5 kilometres of streets. So work the maths out there. We drove around, we looked to see if it had been killed. We went to pounds, we went to vets, we went to all sorts of different places. Anyway, the next day we get a phone call. The dog had been found. It had spent the night in a vet, the only vet we didn't go to. It had spent the night there kicking back with the lady dogs, just having fun. Anyway, when we got him back, we were excited. We put up a grate so that the dog couldn't get under again. We pretty much chained him up for the rest of the time because we didn't want him to die. But we were really excited when we got him back, and we were ready to throw a party. And the owners, our brother and sister-in-law, they were ready to throw a party when Riley was found. That is the response that you get with the sheep, with the coin. When you lose something that's valuable, there is a party. The point that Jesus is making, if you saw it there, he's saying it's not really about sheep. It's not really about coins. He's saying that when someone turns to him, when someone does a U-turn and comes back to him, just one person, there's about 30 of us in this room, if one of you turned back to Jesus, do you know what Jesus is saying? There would be a party in heaven. There would be a huge celebration over one person turning to follow Jesus, over one person becoming a Christian, over one person becoming friends with Jesus forever. A huge, huge party. The next two lost people, we've talked about two lost things. Number one was
sheep.
The sheep, number two was?
Boys.
We're going to meet a couple of boys, and they were both lost. Let's have a look at the next verse. Sentence number 11. Grab your finger on it, point to it, make sure that you can see it. Follow with your eyes, follow with your finger, follow with your ears. And this is what it says. Sentence 11. Jesus also told them another story. Once, a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Now, just see what it says there. "Give me my share of the property." Do you know what that's called?
Demanding.
It is called demanding. Do you know what he's actually going to get? He's going to get his inheritance. Have you heard of the word inheritance before?
Yes.
When do you normally get an inheritance?
When your parents die.
When your parents die. When someone dies. It may not be your parents. It might be another relative or someone who's left you some money in their will. When do you normally get it? You get it when they're dead. Do you know what this rebel, this first son, is saying? He's saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. That's what he's saying to him. Can you imagine saying that to your parents? Or to someone who looks after you, who really loves you? Dad, or Mom, or whoever. I wish you were dead. Saying to the person who's brought you up, the person who's fed you, the person who's protected you, the person who's looked after you, the person who has loved you. Dad, I wish you were dead. Give me the money now. I'm out of here. And so that's what the son says to his father. Terrible, terrible words that this first son says to his father. Have a look at the next sentence, sentence number 13. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He'd spent everything when a bad famine spread through that whole land. Soon, he had nothing to eat. Sentence 15. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, my father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am, starving to death. I know. I will go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers. You got the picture so far? He goes off. What does he do? He wastes all of his inheritance in wild partying, wild living, all sorts of things like that. Then there's a famine. He's run out of food. What does he do? He wants to even eat the food of the pigs because they're getting better food than he is. And so he works out, I know what I need to do. I need to go home. I need to go back to my dad. I need to apologize. I need to say that I'm sorry. Have a look at what happens next. Sentence 20. It says, the younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Why do you think the father could see him coming?
He's looking for him.
The father's not just sitting in there doing a crossword in the newspaper. The father is looking for his son, waiting for his son, wanting his son to come back. This is the father who's had to, he's already been humiliated. Because you know what he had to do? He's got two sons. He's got a big property. He splits the property in half. And how does he give that half of the property to his son? What does he have to do to it?
Sell it.
He has to sell it. So he puts the for sale signs out the front. Okay, everyone in the community knows that this guy has been shamed by his son. He's been humiliated by his son. Okay, he's already been shamed, but yet what is the father doing? He's waiting for his son to return. He's seeking after him. He's longing for him to return. The son returns. The son says, Dad, sorry. I'm sorry that I said I wish you were dead. Please have me back. Let me be one of your servants. But look what happens next. Sentence number 22. But his father said to the servants, hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat it and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found. And they began to celebrate. See what happens? The father doesn't just accept him back as one of the slaves, one of the servants who will go tend the pigs and tend the sheep and the cows and the whatever else. The father accepts him back as a what?
Son.
A son. He welcomes him back. He's run out to meet him and he welcomes back his son. And he forgives him. And he says, let's throw a party. Not a party like the parties he'd been having when he was in the other country, having wild living. A good party. A joyful party. A celebration party. Because this son of mine, he was as good as dead. He was dead to me. But now he's alive again. He's come back. He's turned back to his father. You know what? This is a great picture, just like with the sheep, just like with the coin, of when people like you, people like me, lost peeps, yo, when they turn back to Jesus. This is a fantastic picture of the love that Jesus has for you, such that no matter what you've done, no matter what you've become, Jesus actually says, come back. Come back to me. I forgive you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you've become, please come back. I forgive you. We've had three lost things. Number one was?
Cheers.
Number two was?
Cheers.
Number three was? The rebel, the son, number one. Number four is someone who people don't often talk about when they read this story in the Bible. People often forget this guy, and he is the forgotten brother. The forgotten brother.
Cross home. Cross home.
Let me tell you about the other son. Have a look at sentence number 25. Get your finger on it. I'm looking around, other leaders looking around. Make sure you know where we're up to. Sentence number 25. Okay, let me read it. It says, the oldest son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and the dancing. So he called one of the servants over and said, well, what's going on here? And the servant answered, your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf. The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in, but he said to his father, for years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you, but you have never given me a little goat so that I could have a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast? His father replied, my son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found. Is the brother happy or sad?
Sad.
He's not happy, is he? He's sad. He's angry is a better word. He's cranky pants. He is really, really angry. Why? Why is he really angry? Talk to the person beside you. Why is he angry? Go. 10 seconds. Five seconds. Okay, what'd you come up with? I heard some really good answers going on, so quickly shout them out. Yeah.
That he thought he's dead, that he likes the younger son better.
Okay, maybe he thinks his dad likes the younger son better. Good one, yeah.
Well, I guess he's sort of jealous.
Why? Why is he jealous? That's a good answer.
He's jealous because his dad never even gave him a small calf for a small party with his friends.
You see what's going on? This son has gone away, blown it all, spent his inheritance, wasted it. This other son has worked hard. He's worked hard. He's worked hard. He's worked hard. And he's never even got like a little goat to have a little party. And his brother, who's been an idiot, gets a fattened calf, a sweet, juicy steak to have a big party to celebrate that he'd come back. He's jealous. He's angry. He's bitter. He is the son that has never done anything wrong like the other brother has. And so he is incredibly angry that his dad would act like this towards him. He feels like he's been ripped off. He's like, oh, that's not fair. That is not fair, he says to his dad. I want to take you back to the first two verses. We're almost finished. But the first two verses, the first two sentences will help us to understand the difference between son number one and son number two. Have a look at sentence number one from the top of the page. It says, tax collectors and sinners were all crowding around to listen to Jesus. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law of Moses started grumbling. This man is friendly with sinners. He even eats with them. Who does that sound like? See the quote there from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law? Who does it sound like? Say it again.
Forgotten brother.
Sounds like the forgotten brother. Doesn't it?
Brother.
The forgotten brother is like, my father is such an idiot. Why has he done this and been so kind to my brother who's blown it all? You see, at the start of this, there's two people listening to this story that Jesus tells. There's two types of people. Sentence number one, there's the sinners. There's the tax collectors, the dirty people, the people who have wandered far away off, the people who are just like the first son. But there's another group of people who are listening to this story, and they're the religious people, the people that think they're really good, the people that are really happy with themselves and frown on other people. And so the first son is a lot like one of those sinners, and the second son is a lot like one of those religious people. But you know what? Whichever one you are, as you listen to this, because maybe you are like the first son. Maybe you're really rude to your parents. Maybe you've done some really stupid things. Or maybe one day you will do some really stupid things. But maybe there's some people here who have always gone to church, who have always been in a religious family, and you're a good person. You don't pick on other kids at school. Do you know what the Bible says and Jesus says? Both of us, both the sinners and the religiously good people, we're both lost peeps. We're all lost. And so the cross of Jesus calls both of us
home.
The cross of Jesus calls both of us home. That is, these stories about the sheep, the coin, the son, and the second son all ultimately point to us, God's love for us, shown at the... This is a terribly drawn cross, but you know what's supposed to be there. Shown at the cross. Jesus hanging on a cross. Jesus humiliates himself, just like the father humiliated himself in the story by selling the property, by running out to meet his son. Jesus humiliates himself on the cross. As Jesus hangs there, as he dies, he takes upon himself what we deserve for our sin. We learnt yesterday that we've all sinned. We've all not treated God as God. Remember, we've all said, you're not the king, you're nothing, I'm the king. We've all done that. But the cross of Jesus, whether you're a really good person or a really bad person, the cross says, come home. Come home to me. Jesus is saying, come home. Now, the question from the start, what was it? What was the question?
How do you know someone loves you?
How do you know someone loves you? And then I asked it again in a different way. How do you know who loves you?
Jesus.
How do you know Jesus loves you? How do you know God loves you? How do you know God loves you? Here's the answer. God doesn't just say it. Anyone can say, I love you. God doesn't just say it. God shows it. It's at the cross as Jesus dies, calling us back to him, calling us to do a U-turn and trust in him and turn to him. How do we know that God loves us? He doesn't just say it, he shows it. And so the question we've been asking every day, are you lost or found?
Lost.
You don't need to answer that out loud. Are you lost or found? There are two types of lost people. The first lost person, the son, the first son, he knew he was lost. The second lost person, the second son, he didn't know he was lost, but he was still lost. But then there's those that are found, those that have recognised they're lost and turned to Jesus. What position did I play when I played soccer? Yeah.
I think you played goalkeeper.
I was a goalkeeper. It's the best position because the goalkeeper often saves the day. They always save the day. Okay, the goalkeeper is the most important player on the field. Jesus, remember? He is like the ultimate goalkeeper. He is the one who saves the day in a big way. He saves the whole world by dying on the cross, by dying in our place. I'm going to pray a short little prayer right now. There's three things I'm going to pray in this prayer. Sorry. Thanks. Please. This is a prayer that I want you to pray if you have recognized today or yesterday or the day before or over this week or over a long period of time that you are lost and you need to be found. The prayer is a prayer you can pray anytime. You may not be ready to pray this today. You might want to pray it later in your small group. You might want to pray it tomorrow. You might want to pray it in a week's time when you sit down and read through these Bible stories again. You might want to say, sorry, God, that I have sinned. But you might want to say, but thank you, God, that Jesus died for me. And then say, please, God, help me to trust in Jesus. I'm going to pray a prayer like that. You'll be able to do that later on. You'll be able to do it tomorrow. You'll be able to do it in a few weeks' time, whenever you want to do it. But I'm going to pray it now. And if you do pray it, can you tell your leader? Because remember what happened with the sheep and the coin and the first son? What happened when someone turned back? There was a celebration, a huge celebration. I've got a friend, just one. I've got lots of friends. But I've got one good friend, and he celebrates two birthdays. He celebrates the day he was born and the day he became a Christian, the day he was reborn. He wrote down the date that he became a Christian, and every year he has two parties. He has his normal birthday party, and he has his Christian birthday party. So if today you pray this for the first time, write the date down. Then you'll get to have two parties every year. That'll be awesome. I'm going to pray this prayer. If you want to pray it, just pray it in your head, pray it in your heart, and we'll say amen. Let's pray together. Dear God, I am sorry for sinning against you. I am sorry for not letting you be God. But thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus died in my place. Thank you that Jesus died to call me home. Please help me now to trust in Jesus. Please help me now to turn to Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, in a moment, we're going to meet a guy in our small groups. He's a guy who had all the money in the world, but he was missing the most important thing in the world, and that's Jesus. Zach's going to tell us what's happening next.